It's good. Just it's good being here. It's good seeing you all, my family, my church family. It's good. I'm going to speak today on Psalm 22. We're going to do a series on Psalms. Sheila, myself, John, and Emma, and we've all chosen Psalms that are ones that particularly meant something to us. So I picked Psalm 22, and I don't want you to look at it just yet, if that's okay. Please don't look at it just yet. It spoils the quiz that I'm going to do, okay? All right. Graham. You're not looking, right? Okay. But I chose it because for me, growing up, and as a teenager, and learning about God and thinking, yeah, I do believe in God. And then having all my friends around me with various different opinions, some who did, some who didn't, and wobbling and wavering. One of the things that really kept reassuring me was as I read the Bible, I would see in the Old Testament very clear prophetic things speaking of the new. And having quite a sort of scientific and logical brain, I just thought, that's amazing. That is really helps me to have confidence that this Jesus, who I believe in, is real. What he says is real. What he did really happened. Because not only are there witnesses, but there's also, it tells us about it, hundreds or even the thousands of years before it really happened, it tells us it's going to happen. How could that happen? Unless it's real, you know, unless it's true. So for me, Psalm 22 was something that was encouraging for me as I was growing up. Now, quiz time. We all know the New Testament, we all know the crucifixion of Jesus very, very well. So tell me, details. What happened in the crucifixion? What happened, not the trial so much with Pilate, but everything else. So from the moment that the trial is finished, what goes on? Give me some facts. He carried his cross. Right, good. Something else. Two people either side, right. He was nailed to the cross. Yeah. He departed his robes. He was denied, yes, that goes a little earlier, absolutely. But he was flogged. Yes. What else happened? He may have done, but I don't think we'll find any description of that in the New Testament. But Curtain was split. That happened. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Crown of thorns on his head. Right. He was mocked. Yes. Yes. What, a little clue? What? Pierced, right. Side was pierced. Oh, yeah. Well, and what did he say on the cross? He said, it is finished. That was at the end. What did he say? Anything else he said on the cross? Right, forgive them. Anything else? Yeah, yeah, George Gospel, right, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Sorry? How's your Hebrew? Very good. Right, lovely. Yes, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Absolutely. Very good. I think you scored about 910. Why? Do you think Jesus said those Hebrew words? Why did he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yes? 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 What scripture? He was quoting Psalm 32. Emma, well done. How could you have worked that out? First verse of Psalm 22, let me read it to you. Now, remember all those things we've just shared about the pre-crucifixion, the crucifixion, and after the crucifixion. And then listen quietly as I read to you Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusted in the Lord, they said. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust me, even at my mother's birth. From birth I was cast on you. In my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax that has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. But you do not be far. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He has done it. It is finished. Even the bit about he's thirsty. We didn't mention that. See, that's why you can get 10 out of 10. Right? On the cross he said, I'm thirsty. And a sponge was with bitter, vinegary, winey stuff was offered to him. Isn't that amazing? I think there's several things in here. First of all, I'm sorry I didn't sing that to you. Okay, because it says, for the director of music, to the tune of the Doe of the Morning. Does anyone know that one? A Psalm of David. So, I'm sorry I didn't sing it to you, but it's a song. Okay, I don't know the tune of the Doe of the Morning. One thing I noticed in looking at this, as I was in preparation, I read this many times in many different versions, and I thought, you know, it's interesting. The psalm before, this psalm, and then an incredibly famous psalm that John's going to preach on very soon, Psalm 23, follows immediately after. And they're all written by David. And there's a couple of thoughts across my mind here. One was, interesting how the order of these goes. For Psalm 21 is a psalm that speaks a lot of God as a victorious Lord. You know, and we, as Christians, we live in that victory that day we gave our lives to Christ. We were victorious with him, that he's overcome sin in our lives. We have this eternal life. But yet, Psalm 22, following straight after. A psalm of victory. We have a psalm of, God, you've forsaken me. I'm in agony here. And we as Christians experience times of real struggle. And we've wrestled together over times of struggle, praying for Pella, not always easy, and we can get discouraged, and there can be agony there, and obviously for the foxes, it's even more severe, and you know, we've struggled with Graham when you weren't well, and we, you know, we're a family. We have struggles, and we have times when we have agony. And then, following that, we get into Psalm 23, which I'll only say one thing, John's thought not mine, but it is a psalm of comfort. Is it not? And I was just thinking, you know, David, did he know when he was writing these psalms that they were prophetic? I was just imagining my brain. I'm just thinking, what's going on here with David? Was he just writing them as songs? He was obviously a great musician. He had images of the young David with his musical instrument and his sling ready to kill the lion as he came along or wrestle with bear. But he was playing his musical instrument and then playing the Saul. And then, you know, all through his life, he's obviously loved music and was a great musician. And he wrote these songs, all these psalms. But did he know he was being prophetic? And I don't know. As he was writing Psalm 22, he, as you know the story of David, you know he, at times in his life he really struggled. When Saul was still king and he'd been anointed and Saul was trying to kill him. And then when he was king, and some of it was his own fault, right, and he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and sometimes, you know, from his sons who got rather inflated in their own egos, and Absalom wanted to become king, and, you know, all this. There were times when David felt abandoned. So was he just telling the story of his own life? And yet in telling the story, he unintentionally is writing prophecy about Jesus, you know? But there's an encouragement there, isn't there? That our words, there are times when you just know, you feel like God wants you to say something, and you might not want to say it, you might have the heart going, oh, talk now, I don't want to say anything. Almost it's a sign to say, yes, we must, you know? And you feel God speaking to you, and you share it, and you think, yes, I think I've said a better word, am I not 100% right, Lord? I'm pretty sure I've said something with you there. There must be other times when we speak, and maybe we're prophesying, we don't realise. An encouragement, maybe, do you keep a little diary by the bedside, write down the dream? I don't. Maybe we should, because it doesn't it speak about in Joel, a reminder in the New Testament about, you know, your young men will have visions and your old men will bring dreams. Have I got that right? Yeah, that was good. But maybe we should be taking that more seriously too. Maybe we should be writing down our dreams, just in case. Maybe something prophetic there. Last week, she interrupted the sermon. Probably didn't really want to, but felt compelled to. This word had to come out, saying about talents. And we, as the church, with the master heading off, and hope he has a wonderful rest, we pray and bless him. But we who are here, we've been handed our talents, our one, our ten, our three, and we aren't going to bury it in the ground. We've been encouraged to invest it. And I don't really want to preach today, but there are times probably when Emma doesn't really want to leave worship, and there are probably times when Reg doesn't want to speak about food bank. But we have been encouraged to invest our talents. And the wonderful thing about that prophetic word, or two wonderful things about that prophetic word, was one was that it speaks of if we invest, that the Lord will bless, and then when the master returns, he will say, good and faithful servant, and you were faithful in small things, and now you can be faithful in big things. It's a very positive word for the church. And I think I'm sad about Richard going, but we could embrace positive words that the Lord has spoken. And I had the same word at the same time, and Sheila was braver than I. Or perhaps she got it first, and it was sitting on her heart for longer, I don't know. But that was encouraging. And the Lord speaks to us through prophecy, isn't it? And I think, you know, we can recognise in our community that we have some who are anointed for prophecy. You know, Graham's got an anointing for prophecy, and there are others. But I believe, personally, that the Holy Spirit's gifts are for all of us. There are times where each of us will prophesy. There are times when each of us will pray for the sick. There are times when each of us may teach and may even have to preach, who knows. But there are, the Holy Spirit's anointing on all of us sometimes comes out in all sorts of different ways. And so we should be all looking, if the Lord's speaking to us, to share these things with the community here as blessing and encouragement, our prophecies encouraging. Also, perhaps, with people who don't yet know Jesus. I've been reading this book, just finished it actually, Prophetic Evangelism, by a chap called Mark Stibbe. He's a Church of England vicar. He ran a very big church called St. Andrew's in Chorley Wood, which was, you know, like HDB, huge and very, very successful, and was very pioneering in the Church of England in terms of Holy Spirit ministry. He was the vicar there, and did a lot of work with J.J., who's quite well known evangelist. Anyway, he's written this book about prophetic evangelism, and this is this thing, essentially, simply, being aware and listening to God when you're in everyday situations with everyday people, just in case God might pop something into your mind to share with them. Some evangelistic thought, some insight into their situation, some insight into their past, something that's going to make them sit up and listen and go, oh my goodness, God knows me, he's real. And I'm going to read you one little bit from this. And I'm just reading it partly to encourage us, because we've been trying to press into more of the Holy Spirit, have we not? And at our Tuesday home group, we prayed for some of my cat clients. And I was there, and then people who aren't here. And we were praying for them, and we asked the Lord to speak about, I think about three people. What words have you got for this person? And it's just really encouraging. When I went and visited these people, I had these words, and I knew them, and it really helped me in terms of how to relate to them. It was good. But we can take the next step. Let's try this. Okay. So this is an example of what he's talking about in terms of prophetic evangelism. Okay? A few years ago, I had to take my car into a local garage for a service. As I stood waiting in line at the reception desk, the Holy Spirit drew my attention to the young woman who was serving the customer. First thing, he is always available for the Holy Spirit to speak to her. That's something that's quite hard to do. I don't think I'm very good at that, but that's something we can encourage ourselves in. You know, Lord, are you saying anything in this situation to any of these people here today? Scary prayer to pray. Sometimes this happens. The Lord highlights a person to whom I'm going to minister in some way. But what I sensed the Lord saying was not a positive word. And often, obviously is. It's kind of positive. I sensed him saying, the young woman before you is terminally ill. She doesn't know me yet, but I want you to help her to find me. That was it. I went up to the counter to book my car for a service and saw her badge, that her name was Wendy, but there were no opportunities there and then to say anything to her. And in any case, what do you say when you have a word that serious? Sometimes, when the Lord speaks to you, you need wisdom about how and when to share what you receive. Trusting that God had another time for me to minister to Wendy, I wrote her name on my heart and started to pray for her. A few months later, during the summer, I was conducting a wedding service at the church where I was a curate. Who should I see as one of the bridesmaids but Wendy? After the service, before everyone left, I managed to get alongside Wendy, who was standing with her boyfriend, a mechanic at the garage called Tony. I told Wendy that I'd seen her at the reception desk in the garage and that the Lord had told me to pray for her. She replied that she was very grateful. Even Tony said so too, adding that Wendy had a very serious illness. I told them that they were on my heart and that they were not to hesitate to contact me if they needed prayer. I gave Tony my home phone number, stressing that he could use it at any time. Several weeks later, Tony rang me. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. He told me that they'd been on holiday in Scotland, Wendy had gone into a coma, and that he had driven her back home in the caravan. He shared that Wendy was now in the local hospital, not expected to survive beyond a few hours. I rushed there to find Wendy in bed, next to various machines and surrounded by family and medics. I asked for 2 minutes to pray for Wendy and invited the Holy Spirit to come into that hospital site. I don't remember particularly sensing the presence of God or seeing any reaction in Wendy as I prayed, I don't remember exactly what I prayed either, except that it was something along the lines that God had said I was to help Wendy find him, and that I needed more time. After I bade her well and went home. Several hours later, the phone rang. It was Tony to say that Wendy had recovered dramatically, and that the nurses were baffled. The doctors had discharged her, and she was now back home. Now, I'd love to say that Wendy went on to recover completely, and that she is alive and well today, but that did not happen. The Lord had impressed on me that he wanted her to have an opportunity to get to know him. I did not receive a word about her being healed. That has occurred on other occasions. I prayed for several seekers who had been sick, and they had been healed. This time, with Wendy, I did not sense any leading at all. She was going to be well. Wendy lived another 4 months. During that time, the family invited me to go and visit her in their own home. They were all present on the day I visited. The extraordinary thing is that Wendy, not I, asked them all to leave so that we could have time on our own together. When they'd all gone, I told her that I had something to share. She replied that she knew, and that she knew that what I was about to share. And she did. She knew it was time to get ready for heaven. There and then she confessed her sin, committed her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and received the Holy Spirit. He talks about how prophetic evangelism can pierce between soul and spirit. There's a verse in Hebrews which says exactly that. And it can unlock an unbeliever who is perhaps closed off to God. You can get a revelation from God that you have the courage to share with someone. Then that can get right through all the defenses, right through to their soul, and send a little spark into it and say, God knows. So all of their logical defences and all their whatevers at that moment just go out the window. There's lots. Good book, actually. If you wish to look it up, buy it on Amazon or whatever. A bit challenging though, because now I've got to give it a try. But that is my prayer, and that's really where I wanted to end today. I know I haven't really gone into detail about Psalm 22. I've used it as an excuse to talk about prophecy. But there you go. But I just wanted to say that what I'm going to end with today is that I want us to pray, first of all, those who are willing to stand with me, that the Lord will give us courage and sensitivity to hear his Holy Spirit, and have courage to share with sensitivity whatever those words may be. Now obviously if you do get a word about somebody terminally ill or whatever, you may want to just talk it through with someone else who's mature and wise before sharing it with that person just out of the blue when you're getting your car serviced at the garage or whatever. Or if you get a word about, there's a famous case of a chap called John Wimber, who was an American chap who came over here and actually led the British church in the early days of Holy Spirit revival, and just saying that this is what God's teaching. He had an amazing story about him. He was on an aeroplane and he was going to sit down next to the person here, and the Lord spoke to him about the fact that this chap was in an adulterous relationship. And if you get a word like that, just use some sensitivity and be careful. But he thought, I don't know what I can do about that, Lord. But then he had the word, you know, you're going to tell me more before I'm going to risk that one. And then he had the word, Jane. So he sat down next to the chap and said, this may sound a bit strange, but I'm a Christian, he spoke to me. Does the name Jane mean anything to you? And this opened up a long conversation, and it turned out that Jane happened to be the person he was in a relationship with. And this chap was convicted, and he came to life of Christ, he then called his wife, and then also became, and gave her life to Christ too. So, yes. But obviously, it's wisdom. But if you've got an encouraging word that's in line with the Bible, honestly, try. So, if you'll stand with me to, in a second, to pray, the Lord will give us courage and opportunity and sensitivity to hear the Lord's voice and to give it a go, then let's do that. And then what we could do the last few minutes after we've prayed is then we can do a little group exercise. I don't know. Whenever we're at a conference and someone says group exercise, it's like, But the idea is that it might sit with somebody who's not a family member or someone you know really, really well, maybe in a group of, say, three, and ask the Lord for something that you might share with that person, as it were. Something that maybe about them that they haven't shared with you, just to see. You know, maybe something about an event in their childhood or something, just to encourage us to believe that God does speak to us today and that He wants to speak to us for an encouraging word for each other. One more thing we used to do in our old church, we used to do what we call DNA prayer. And Lord, what were you thinking about when you made this person in their mother's womb? What was on your heart, you know, when you created this being? I think I have Psalm 139 at some point. But what were you thinking about when you created this being? Maybe you could ask that question. Whatever comes to your mind, we're among friends. Let's just take the risk. Share it. And they might say, no, no, that's not me. Or they might go, oh, my goodness. Okay, does that sound right? No, Keith says. Everybody else says yes. Sorry, Keith, you're outvoted. All right, so let's first of all, let's pray that the Lord will bless us and anoint us. Let's stand for this as a sign of yes. Right? And then I'll organise you into groups of three and we'll practice. And then when you've had enough, you can go and get it. Good. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us today. Lord, we thank you that your heart for the lost is much greater than our heart for us. We thank you, Lord, that you want to see your church grow. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your Holy Spirit. That all of us, we are filled with your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to help us to hear your voice more clearly. Have the courage, Lord, to listen to you when we're out and about, and the courage to share your word with those who need it. We ask you that you would spark into us a little bit of this prophetic evangelism, that we would be able to, used by you, to reach the lost, to encourage the heart, and to grow your kingdom here and now. Jesus' name. Amen.